Pasuk kumi uluchu ki lo zois hamenucha bav. This is not the menucha. The menucha that I promise you to live in Eretz Yisrael. This is not what I had intent. Bavur toma, because of the contamination, techabel v'chevel nimrots. Because of the contamination, techabel, you will suffer wounds. V'chevel nimrots. Nimrots means strength. The wounds will get, it will intensify. Your suffering will intensify. Let's see Pasuk in the Mitzvah. Let's David first. Luchu means get up, kumu means get up, and get out. Okay, that's why Hashem says the words, get up, kumu, arise, luchu, and go into exile. Ki loy zay samenucha, the mesudos, ritzad, loy mar, loy al derech zenasati luchem esaris lenachlas menucha. This is not my intent. When I gave you Eretz Yisrael, it was not my intent. You should live in my land and contaminate the land with avodah zarah. Because you have contaminated the land to do these terrible avos. He learns over here, techabel means that the land itself will rise up against you. The land will be the source of your expulsion. It will cause you harm. Techabel v'sashchus aschem v'chevel nimrotz ha'hashchasot yed chazaka me'oid. Will be intense to the degree where you will not. There will be no remnant of the Jewish people living in this land. Pasuk in Rashi. Rashi kumu luchu l'kiloi zayis hamenucha kumu l'gulu in Eretz. Over here, it's one will go into Galus, rise up and go into Galus. Why? Kiloi b'derech zo nisatil lechem l'benucha. This is not my same exacting as the Mitzudos David. Bavur tamo techabel v'chevel nimrotz ki leman tame oisahi oisah chaburas chavle rishoyim. In order, now here he's learning a little bit different than when the Mitzudos David. According to the Mitzudos David, Bavur Toma means because you, the Jewish people, have contaminated the land itself will bring harm upon you. Rashi says, Ki leman tamei oisa, in order to contaminate it, he osa chavuras chavlei rishoim. The Jewish people are coming together as a chabur, a chavura. Okay, that's the chavura and a chabura. Over here, it's a very good word over because, you know, in Lakewood, they have what's called chaburas. But that's not correct. That's not correct. It's a chavuras with a vase. A chabura means to beat up, to hit, to make a wound. So when someone in Lakewood says they're part of a chabura, it means they're part of a wrestling match. A chabur means to wound. Chavur means a chever, a group. Here it's very interesting, Rashi. Rashi and the Mitzudos were playing with exactly this word. And the difference of this word, does the word over here mean a band? Does it mean a group of people or does it mean a wound? It makes the difference as to the simple translation of this pasuk. If you learn like the Mitzudos, so the word techabel means there's a base, there's a dot, dogesh. There's a dot in the base, which means that the land itself is going to cause you harm and injury because you have contaminated the land. So there will be retribution. The land will now rise up and injure, will make a chabura in you. On the other hand, Rashi seems to say is the word techabel, even though there is a dot in the base, it means that the Jewish people were engaged in organized crime. You didn't just commit mitame, person, you know, shul hate, you go behind closed doors, no one is watching, and you do an avera, and by doing so you are contaminating the land. No, it was organized. It was a chabura. It was a Jewish mafia. Bavur Tama, in order that you should succeed in contaminating the land on a grand scale, Tichabel, you got together in groups, in clubs, in organizations to magnify your crime. The look, he oisa Chavuras Chavlei Rishoim. He means the nation. She made for herself a chavuras, a group of individuals who were destructive. Chavlei Rishoim. Techabel Lishoin Agudois. It's a lashon of aguda. Okay, aguda is a group. Kmo Chevel Nevi'im. A band of prophets. Chavlei Rishoim. Okay, but what is chidush here is that there's a dot. It says Techabel. Let's carefully see what he says. Let's read the whole thing. We'll come back. We'll see the entire Rashi, and then we'll come back and try to put piece together. Okay, the word over here, techabel, is, he clearly says word techabel means an aguda. L'shon aguda is k'moy chevel neviim, chavlei rishoim, v'chein tigim yonason, misayim ala, l'shon si'ah. Misayim means a group, a caravan, a collection of people. V'chevel nimrat, u'v'eis aguda, some kvar no'atsu b'neihem, and during the time of their union, No'atsu b'neihem, he is translating the word nimrots not to mean strength. It means, let's go further, no'atsu to take counsel b'neihem, u'perishu lomahem mischabdim. Explaining why they are joining together. Let's read the next words, Rashi. Davar mefarash be'er heitev. The word nimrots means counsel. It means something which is explicit. Be'er heitev, kimo ma nimritsu imre yosher, how clear, how, what's a good translator? Michal, you're a good translator. Ma nimritsu divrei imre yosher, words of uprightness are, what's the, I don't have a good word, nimritsu, they are exact, they are clearly stated, that's what he says, clearly stated, okay? Explicit. He goes on here, he translates here very good. Ma yam ritzcha, okay, whatever, I don't know what it means over there, but the next word is very good. A klala nim retzes. Okay, that's a very good example. Klala nim, an explicit. It could not be more clear. An explicit, because a klala nim rehu kilalani klala nim retzes. Vim lechte machanoyim. I think it was Shimon ben Gera. Shimon Gera, who killalani killala, he cursed me a killalanim, that's an explicit curse. So we have here a fundamental machlekes Rashi and the Mitzudos as to two words in this pasuk. Word, let's work backwards. Does the word nimrots mean chazak, chazak, v'nis chazek? Nimrots is also used in the context of strength. If we look at the Mitzudos, tzion, inyan choizek, k'moy killala nimretzes. Now, interesting, you say he's taking the same exact words as Rashi, and he's giving the words of Rashi, that those same words, also a different translation. Whereas Rashi translates the words that Klala Nimretzes to mean an explicit curse, the Mitzudos David translates the words that Klala Nimretzes to mean an intense, a Klala Nimretzes, a curse of intensity. So it's very interesting how, you know, you have over here the Mefarshim, and they want to say they want to go from their own way, and they want to bring support to their position, and you normally, each one pulls out of the hat a whole different pasuk to show that they're right. Here, they're both providing the same evidence of a trial in court, and both the prosecutor and the defendant, they present as exhibit number one exactly the same thing. And the defense uses this as proof that the man is innocent, and the prosecutor uses this evidence as proof that he is guilty, exactly the same thing. We're taking the same exact pasuk, a klal nimretzes. Now here we have different ways of translating the word. Does it mean explicit, or does it mean intensity? And here that's going to be the nafka min, that's one nafka min between Rashi and the other nafka min is, what is the word techabel? Does it mean techabel and chevel? Does it mean a band? Does it mean a siya, a group of people, a chavura? Or does it mean a wound? So let's read. So we translate according to Rashi. The pasuk means "Kumu luchu, get up and get out of the land." Ki loy zayis hamenucha. This was not my intent. This was not my intent that I should give you the land of menucha for you to come and do averos. What averos have you done? You've done organized crime. Okay, organized crime. Why the organization? Because you want to pool all of your resources and your talents to make sure that your evil is nimretzes, is clear, is explicit. It should not be misunderstood that it is a chesed organization. It is a criminal organization. Okay, there's no doubt about it. It is a chevel nimratz. It's not, it's on the front of the building, it doesn't say that we're a charity organization, and you take the money and you use it, and you use it for terrorism, like what the Palestinians do. Okay, all the money you give to tzedakah doesn't go for tzedakah, it goes for terrorism. So Klal Yisrael over here, we're not fakers, we're not, this is a Miley Shnoh, it's not a chasar. We're not a bunch of phonies. When you write out your check, don't write it out to the charity organization, write it out to the Institute of Terror and harm. It's nimretzes. It's clear as day who we are.
Without pretense?
No pretense. Clear as day. And you've joined together to make a group. You've come together. That is how bad you have gotten. You've descended to such a level where there is no shame. There is no shame in doing averos. It's out in the open. It's nimretzes. It's in public. And you've created an organization, a chavura, and you've done this in order bavur tama, in order to bring into this world contamination, and thus backwards kumuluchu kilo zayis hamenucha. So you have to really read the whole pasuk backwards. According to Rashi, the only way the pasuk can really be easily translated is to go backwards. We start off that we have three words: techabel. Techabel v'chevel nimrots. You join together, you come together in an organization, and the nature of the and the nature of the organization is clear to the world. We are an organization of nimrots. We are an organization that's clear to the world. Our goal is to do what? Now we go backwards to two words before, bavur tama. Bavur tama is the name of the organization. Write your checks out to Ba'avur Tama. We are an organization. We have a tax-exempt code, if anyone needs to know, and we'll write you a receipt on the spot. We take credit cards, and we take American Express as well, and even Bitcoins. We'll give you our code that you can send Bitcoins to our terror organization, and the name of the organization is called Ba'avur Tama in order to contaminate the land. Hashem responds, this is what you want to do. You want to make an organization, and it should be clear to the world what your intent is, and you're even going to call it Bavur Tama. Get out. Kumu, pick yourself up, ulechu, and get lost. Kiloi zois hamenucha. This is not the land, this is not what I've given you the land of peace for. The land of Eretz Yisrael is a land of menucha. It's not a land of bavur tama with organized crime. These are the words of Rashi. The Mitzudas, we review the Mitzudas outside, said they're very different. He says the word, two different differences. The word nimrots means intensity, and the word chevel does not mean a group. It means pain, and it's over here describing that Klal Yisrael is going to suffer intense pain. It will be chevel nim techabel. You will suffer injury. You will suffer wounds upon your body, and not just an ordinary little boo-boo that you can put a band-aid on. It's going to be a chevel nimrots, an intense pain. Why? Because bavur tama, because of your sins. It's because you have sinned. That's why you get techabel v'chevel nimrots. And also, what else? And what else will you suffer? Because of this, kumulhu, get out, pick yourself up and get out. That's the same kilo. That's not the reason why I gave you this land. So, look, we have two very different perushim, and all hinges upon the word techabel and the word nimrots. And like I told you, it's very interesting. Okay, there's a dot. There's a dot in the base. There's a dot in the base. A lot of the medaktikim, they love to poke fun at people who do not know Diktuk. It's like a sport. It's not nice. People. I'm always a victim because I'm totally ignorant. But the people who are real medaktikim, they know everything, and they see people who don't know Diktuk, they laugh. And one of the things they make litzanus is in Lakewood, everyone says amongst each other, whose chabura do you go to? So people are very quick to say, it's not a chabura, it's whose chavura do you attend? But over here, we have a challenge to that complaint. Because here it says, tichabel, with a dot. Now, I'm sure there's an answer. I'm sure there must be some lomish answer why over here it's necessary, according to the rules of grammar, tichabel. Tichabel, according to the mitzudos. What?
I think it wouldn't sound right without.
Okay, I'm sure there must be. Maybe it's the binyan tichabel. It could be it's the binyan which demands that a dot be put into the base. Whatever it is, I don't know. Whatever it is, but over here, this word is very fascinating. This little sichsuch between the medaktikim and the people who do not know diktuk about this common error of chabura and chavura. Look at this pasuk over here. Over here, you have the same exact word with a dot, and we have a machloikis, Rashi and the Mitzudois. What does it mean? Does it mean a wound? Does it mean a group? If it means a wound, it means that we're the victims. If it means a group, it means we are the criminals. Okay, the whole thing depends on the same word. Question is, what does it mean? What?
Right, but because the dogish is in there, right? Chedel, without the dogish, is a rope, something that bands together.
Oh.
To injure or harm.
Well, that's not what Rashi says.
But I'm saying, what the normal use.
Right, absolutely. The normal use is a chavura is a group of people. A chabura is a wound.
Right.
That's clear as day. As clear as day, chabura tachas chabura, and a chavura is a group of people. Here we have tichabel, v'chevel, nimrots, and we have machloikis, Rashi, and the mitzudos as the translation. Is it a wound? Is it a group? And the nafkamina is also, are we describing the victim, or are we describing the perpetrator, the criminal? A lot hinges on this one word. Now let's see radak. Radak, pasigyot, kumuluchu, get up and get out. Go to Golas. You're not going to live in your land. You're not going to have menucha. So it seems off the bat that he's disagreeing with both Rashi and the Mitzudas. When it says ki lo yzois ha-menucha, it doesn't mean the land. Both Rashi and the Mitzudas appear to define ki lo yzois ha-menucha. It's a description of the land. The word minucha is a description, a title of the land. And kiloi zois, you have to add a few words. It's not for this type of behavior that I give you the gift called minucha. Right? According to both Rashi and the Mitzvah, the word minucha is a description of the land. I did not give you this land. Mitradak, does he really say that? I call the land Zos HaMenucha V'Anoa. I take it back. He does say the same thing. He really does say the same thing. Zos HaMenucha. Zos HaMenucha V'Anachlo. V'yata B'Avonu Seichem. Einim Lochem Nachlo Menucha. Kumu Luchu Mimeno. He appears though to say Kiloi Zos HaMenucha. It would appear that according to the Mitzrash, the Radak, He's breaking up the words not the way the Ta'amei HaMikra, and we even here have a Mesek. He's really going out on a limb, the Radak. The Radak seems to be saying that if he was the one putting in the Ta'amei HaMikra and all the other items, he would not put a Mesek between the word Loi and the word Zois, and he would not put a Tipcha on the word zois, he would say kiloi, kama, zois hamenucha, because zois hamenucha is a term that the Torah that according to Radak is describing the land. Zois haaretz, this is the land of Eretz Yisrael. Zois haaretz asher nasati lochem, kiloi, zois hamenucha. Okay, this is not. What I the land. The land is not a land where you're allowed to behave in such in evil ways.
El
Hamba, that's the word Menucha. There, the word menucha is just one word alone. And that's the way our Tami HaMikra. The Tami HaMikra are, Kumulchu, get up and get out. Kilo Zeus, this is not why I had intent when I gave you HaMenucha. Add some words in between the word Zeus and the word HaMenucha. Get up and get out, because Zeus, this, Kilo Zeus, it's not for this, comma, add the words, that I have given you this beautiful land that is called Menucha. But that's not what the Radak says. The Radak learns that the two words, Zos HaMenucha, is the description of the land. And then, Kilo, comma. It's not for this. It's not for this type of behavior that was I kind to grant you Zos HaMenucha, the land that's called Zos HaMenucha. Now the Radak is very nice what he says. He has a precedent. He has the Torah Zos HaAretz, such an Osati Lachem, because indeed the Torah calls Zos HaAretz, but he's going up against the art scroll who puts the Tipcha on the word Zos, and even puts a Mesek, a connecting line in between the word Loi and the word Zos. So look at the Mechashai. Does he say anything? No, he doesn't say no comment over the Mechashai. The Mechashai over here is silent. Does anything to say about this? And it's not the first time we had this. All the Mepharshim like to pick away at the Tamei HaMikra, because the Tamei HaMikra in Nevi'im is not on the same level of Mesorah like the Tamei HaMikra as Torah. Okay, that's not so uncommon that you have things like this, where there is a major difference in the Perush the Pasuk al derech Pshat. Not talking about Drush. Drush, you can say whatever you want. Let's talk about Pshat from the Rishonim, the Parshonim. You have to have Pshat, and over here he seems to be saying something different. Obviously, he must have had a different Mesorah. That's what we have. We have to make that assumption the way he's translating the Pasuk. Absolutely, we discussed many, many times that's all they with the Aleppo Codex. The Aleppo Codex is not the way those shuls who have a set of Nach in their Aron HaKodesh and lain the Haftarah from Nevi'im on Shabbos, the vast majority of those Nevi'im are not in tune with the Aleppo Codex. So what's going on over here? Is if the Aleppo Codex is the Ben Osher, is the authority, is the oldest authentic record of Tanakh, the Psuchos, the Stumos. So how come, and everything along those lines, how come today in most shuls it's not like that? Big kasha. So I told you, Chaim Kanievsky holds that all of the seifrim today should start, get their act together, and write the Nevi'im like the Aleppo Codex. That's what they should do. Oh, but what about what we have in the Aron HaKodesh for who knows how many, 500 years? No. There is no Mesorah. He says there is no Mesorah. There's no Mesorah. The Mesorah on the Nevi'im was lost, on the Psuchos and the Stumos. Not on the words. But on the Psuchos and the Stumos, we never really had a clear Mesorah. And therefore, if you have now the Aleppo Codex, go with it. However, I think Rabbi Yashiv, this was a big machlokes in the 1980s. In the 1980s, and it was a big hot debate when the Aleppo Codex was available for the Hamoyin Am, and the Gedolei Yisrael on both sides of the fence. Both sides of the fence, should we continue the Mesorah that we've been doing until now? Some say, Hanach Lohem Li Yisrael, in Einam Nevi'im B'nei Nevi'im. If this is what we have in the Aron HaKodesh, keep on doing what we're doing. Don't worry about the Aleppo Codex. There's even a question if the Aleppo Codex is actually, when the Rambam says that he copied his Sefer Torah from this thing, who says the Rambam was referring to the Aleppo Codex? We don't know that as a fact. There's no absolute scientific proof that when the Rambam wrote his copy, his Sefer Torah, he made his Sefer Torah, he took it from the Aleppo Codex, from this thing that we know today is called the Aleppo Codex. It's not been proven. It's assumed to be correct. but it's not absolute. Okay, what I just said now, there were people now, their mamash picked me up and throw me into the Hudson River for what I just said, because they hold their mamash, there's no doubt about it that it is. But, okay, whatever, that's a different topic of discussion. Let's not go further over here, what it is over here in the Chabel. Let's go further in the Radak. Bavur, let's read those words again. In the first wide line, on page 471, on the first wide line, Bavur Tama, the Chabel, the Chabel, the Chabel, Nimrats. Zayis Tamnuch Vanachla Tama. Kumash Yamar, like it says, Vatitma Haretz, Vefkoid Alech Avnesecha, Vatik Yeretz Es Yeshvecha. You have contaminated the earth. And I will visit its sin upon her, and I will spit you out. Ubavur ze shatama shatem ti me simoisa bavur ze, because you have contaminated the land. Bavur ze tichabel artzchem, because you have contaminated tichabel artzchem. Now, what does that mean? Kemoisha amar vataki haaretz kiloimar tichabel leschem, it will injure you. He's saying the same thing as the mitsudois, the earth will cause you harm. Vas visoki will spit you out eschem mitoicha. He learns the pasuk due to you. So he's learning the pasuk like the mitsudois. The word techabel means next words techabel in hashchasa. He explains clear as day. Hashchasa kumay vichibel esma seyadecha will destroy your ma'aseh yadecha, your actions, your creation. V'chein v'chevel nimrats. Likewise, it says a chevel nimrats. What does it mean, the word nimrats? In yon l'shon hashchos of hushem, this is a description. What do we mean by a description? U'mao ha'chevel sh'techabal l'aschem. What's the chevel? In other words, the chevel nimrats is describing, is modifying the word techabel. It's a bayer. The pasuk itself is giving us a perish rashi. Techabel. What does the word techabel mean? So the next two words of the pasuk explain the word techabel means will be a chevel nimrats. Yeah, k'may klala nimratzes. K'loymar chevel chazok me'oid. So basically, the Mitzvah David said exactly like that. The Radak said his parish, built his parish exactly to that, like the Mitzvahs. They're on the same page. The Mitzvahs came a few hundred years after Radak, obviously, but that's where we always go backwards in time. And both of them are on the same page, that it means here, you know, because of your sins, techabel, you will be destroyed. What kind of destruction? Not a lightweight destruction. It will be vechevel nimrats. It will be a magnificent type of destruction, which you'll not be able to escape from. Okay, that is the parish of Radak, like Mitzudos, we did Rashi. Let's see the Malbim. The Malbim Pasuk Yud says, "Kumu luchum min aretz lagoyle, get out. Ki lo zois hamenuch, ki lo yibayvin zet hamenuch baretz. V'zois lo yikarei b'shem menucha. This is not what I call menucha. Im tasu kozois. That's not what I had in mind in the first Pasuk in Rashi, the first Rashi in Chumash. What Hashem said to Klal Yisrael, I'm teaching you who created the world. The whole Torah is to teach you that it's Hashem's world. So the Umay Yisraelim will say to Klal Yisrael, listim atem. You will respond and you will say it's Hashem's world. He created it and he decides who gets it. But Klal Yisrael, if you're going to behave like this, you don't deserve it any more than the one that you took it away from. Okay, so now, according to the parish of the Malbim, we're going back to the previous pasuk of the Nishay of the women in the previous pasuk back in pasuk test, and we're coming to elaborate. Here we go. Oimer bavur tama techabel. Haloi. Techabel usim mashkein eishes ish mibeis bala. Bavur letamei oisa biznus. A new insight into this pasuk, unique to the Malbim. Until now, we learned according to Rashi and the Radak and the Mitzudos that the word tuma means averos. We're not we're not specifying which particular Avera, any Avera, whether it's going to be Gilead Ayis, it's going to be Shvich HaStam, it's going to be Avodah Zarah, any Avera that you commit in the land is Tumah. According to the Malbum, being that this pasuk follows from the previous pasuk that describes the Noshim, that a man goes and causes another man to get divorced. And we learned yesterday in Perushim how that happens. Either he takes away his parnasa, and when there's no parnasa, what happens? Then it leads to problem of shalom bayis. And when there's no shalom bayis, it leads to divorce. And then we learned the Malbim. The Malbim said yesterday he's going lishitasa. It means more than that. It doesn't just mean that you deny a person his parnasa, and that results in the lack of shalom bayis. It means you actually frequent yourself with his wife. You go to the house a little too often, and you schmooze with his wife, and the husband gets jealous. There's a love triangle. You wedge your way in between him and his wife. It causes strife, and the husband gets jealous. Haman, Achashverosh, and Esther. Isn't that what it's all about? It was a love triangle. It's like a type of program that you would not let your children watch. Right? Isn't that exactly what happened? That Esther invites Haman to the party and Achashverosh is jealous. Does Esther really have her eyes set on Haman? They're going to get rid of me and Haman's going to become the king. Is there something going on over here? That's how a lot of Mepharshim learned. There's some type of jealousy, rivalry for the attention of a woman. Right? They don't talk like that in the yeshiva world. That's not, you know, it's not yeshivish. It's not derech to talk like that. To talk like that, that you know.
One of
Shavada. But it's not something you're going to go here, Rabbanim, get up and expound upon and go say that there is an in over here of their fighting for the attention of a beautiful woman. And that's all part of the tsar of why did it have to come about that the miracle of Purim came about in this unrefined way. We always look at the miracle of Purim, it's sad in a way because it was unrefined in the fact that Esther, a Yiddish girl who went to Beis Yaakov, was now living with a goy. That's not nice. And that's how the whole miracle came about. And she remained with him. And according to many, she had a child with him. It's very unsettling. But the truth is, it's even worse than that. It's not just, okay, Nebuch, she's living with a guy. The whole miracle came about is where two men are fighting over her. She set herself up in a way where there's a love triangle. That's a double dosage of the whole story of Purim being very un-yeshivish.
It doesn't say that Haman had his eye on her, it just says that Achashverosh thought.
Exactly. Okay, fine. But still, it's bad enough, the tragedy, that a Beis Yaakov girl is living with a guy. But on top of that, Esther is devising a plan where two men... where she's setting up a situation where two men are fighting over her, or at least they jealousy.
She invited them twice.
Twice, exactly. Both, exactly. So that's like a double dosage of that the whole miracle came about in a very unrefined way. And that's a problem. That's not something which is very satisfying for Klal Yisrael, because Klal Yisrael prides itself in being very nizhar in these matters. What is Hashem trying to say to us? That Hashem, who is infinite, who can bring about a geula, if Hashem wants to bring about salvation, is not limited in how he can bring about it. And Hashem bedafka chose that the salvation should come about in this unrefined way, unrefined being built upon something which already was unrefined. There's a message. Hashem is saying, I'm going to redeem you according to your level. Which basically means, you're not holding with the program. There's going to be a stain on who you were for all generations. You're not going to be able to whitewash yourself later on all generations and say, look back, we were tzaddikim. We were very holy people. really, if you were such holy people, then why did Hashem bring about the miracle in such a way? Hashem brings about miracles, and miracles are necessary according to the level of the people. And if this is where you're holding, you are people that are unholy people, and this is where you're holding, you deserve a miracle, so I'll bring you a miracle. But I'm going to bring you a miracle based upon the way you operate. That's not, so it's almost like a public record. The Jewish people living at this time were not where they should have been, and we know to be absolutely true. How do we know this, that I just said, to be absolutely true? Because when Ezra came only a few years later, to finally seal the deal, close the deal, and build the Beis HaMikdash, what did he say? What in the world is going on here? You all, many of you are married to non-Jewish women. What's this intermarriage all about? And Ezra went and he made a big, big deal about this. And the Pesukim tell us he was in the... So we know it's a fact. We know that I'm saying it's true because the Pesukim make it clear as day is that the intermarriage rate then was through the roof, which obviously means the whole relationship of men and women was not the way it should have been. And that is indeed why, when Hashem brought about the miracle of Purim, it was brought about in this very unrefined way. Because that's who we were. We were unrefined people. If we were unrefined people, so Hashem wants to do for us a miracle, because we need a miracle, for whatever the reasons are, the miracle is according to your madrega. You know, the maral, it's very, very, very famous maral. Probably the most famous maral on Pesach is, there is Nisim also have a Seder. Is that a fair statement to say? Mm-hmm. That's probably the most famous var from the Maral on the Lel Seder?
Well, that I couldn't say.
I heard that almost every day. We have the whole Yitzias. We like to think about Yitzias Mitzrayim as a miracle. So miracles are out of the box. They're unpredictable. They have no rules. There are no rules. There's no science to a miracle. If Teva, there's a science. There's a Seder. You go to school and they'll teach you, you'll take the courses, you take this course and this course. Everything has a say there in science. There's a miracle. There's no organization to a miracle. The Maral says, big mistake. Big mistake. It's an incredible, incredible insight. If not for the Maral, who would say such a chiddush? There are certain things that Gedolim would not have said, someone else would have said it. Eventually. But there are certain things that if these Gedolim would not have said it, who says anyone would ever be mechadish this idea? And it really changed the thinking, this idea of everyone that came after the Maral. The Maral's yesod is miracles also are a science. It's a different science. It's not a science in this world.
The system.
There's a Seder to Nisim. Incredible, the depth of that statement is beyond belief, what that means.
Well, he was an unconventional thinker,
And no one disagrees. Everyone would never have said it, and now that he said it, you're right. That makes sense.
For a few centuries, nobody even discussed his ideas. Really,
right, it's a very bizarre thing. Maral was like a hidden, and Seamus.
Because it didn't fit in.
What do you mean?
It didn't fit in, as a friend of mine said, it didn't fit into the philosophical categories.
Could be. The time was not right.
And so it wasn't until the beginning, in the early 20th century that it started being picked up.
Look, Kabbalah wasn't
started.
What?
Rav Kook started it in the 20th century.
Rav Kook. Right? It's right. All right. Personally, not my place. I have a very hard time in Maral. Abstractions. Maral is all about abstractions. It's hard, not for everyone. All right, going back over here. So over here we have over here in the Malbim. The Malbim says here in Bavur, Tama techabel. So Mufarish Mashal Marish Neshei Amid Tigor Shumi Beis Tanuyeh Ha'echa Yizel Aimer. So this is a continuation of the previous pasuk. The Tuma that we are describing over here is not Avodah Zarah. It's not Shvichas Tamim. The tum over here is on the previous pasuk over here, the wedge, the man going in between another man and his wife, creating jealousy creating a problem, Shalom Bayis issues. Eishes b'beis bal bavur letami oisab aznus. The chevel nimrats. What does that those words mean? The chevel hamashkoin who mashkoin mifayrosh. So here we have now a third, congratulations, Rabbi Issa, we have now a third translation for the word chevel. It means a mashkoin. Chovol tachbol salmas re'eyu. Chovol tachbol. Pasuk in Mishpatim, I believe. Chovol tachbol. If you will take a pledge. Why does the word chavol mean a pledge? I guess it's a rope. Chevel is a, we call it a rope. A chavura. By taking a pledge, you are connecting yourself or the fellow. There's a connection between you and him that is tangible to guarantee you get your money back. When you lend money, the words of Chazal are, milva lehoitza nitna. You lend the person money, they don't pay back the same dollar bills. I give you $100 in pennies, in nickels and dimes, or dollar bills, or in bitcoins. What happens? You pay me back however you want. It's an abstract obligation to repay the loan. When you give a mashkoin, what are you doing in essence? You're tying a rope around the fellow's head and saying, this is not abstract. You can feel the pain. You can feel the noose tightening around your neck. If you don't give me back the money, then I'm going to keep this object. So a pledge is called a chevel. In chavol tachbol salmas re'echa. If you take as a pledge the garment of your friend, because taking a pledge connects you. It's no longer abstract. There's a connection. But in any event, the word chavol tachbol, even though maybe the word chavol itself means a rope, and a rope really means a chavur, means to be connected. And now a pledge is the same exact idea. There is a connection when you give a pledge. So here we're going to take that translation and we're going to inject that into the pasuk here. And it says, how did it come about that a man was able to be mitame the relationship between another man and his wife? The answer is, he lends that man money and that man does not have what to pay. So every single day he comes to take the collateral. He comes for the person's garment. And when the day is over, he returns. That's what the Torah says. You take your pillow. So I'll take the pillow during the day, but at night you need it, so I will return the pillow at night. So you come to your friend's house a little more than you should. You come into his private quarters and you see his wife. And one thing leads to another. Before you know, there's a problem with Shalom Bayis, and there's a divorce. The chevel nimrats. The amashkoin hu mashkoin mifayrosh. The word nimrats, he's learning like the radak. The radak said it means explicit. Shete mashkein oisa befeirush. He gives her a pledge, befeirush, al tanai zeh she tishkano. He says a little more than I just said. Okay, I made a big mistake over here. Al tanai zeh she tishkav ima litamoisa. Okay, it's pretty serious stuff. Okay, chevel nimrats, he's saying over here is, I'll lend you the money on the condition that you live with me. Okay, timrats, there's no shame. The chevel, that's the pledge. That's going to be the collateral. The collateral is that you're going to provide for me, you're going to satisfy my desires. Okay, it's an explicit pledge. Shocking stuff here. Everything we learned all until this pasuk over here is a response to the prophets, that the Jewish people, they say to the prophets, quiet, silence, don't give us Musar. It's impossible for Hashem to punish us. We're now coming to summarize all of the Sukkot until now. The Malbim says that don't go and predict for us gloom and doom. You're wrong. There is no way the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to destroy us. First of all, Hashem really doesn't care. Our sins have no effect on Hashem. So why should he care? Why should it bother him to respond and destroy us? That was the first complaint, according to the Baal. We had so many perushim what this pasuk means, but according to Malam, he says v'rikotzar ruach Hashem milispol avoinam. Is Hashem so short-tempered that He can't tolerate our sins? In other words, Hashem couldn't kill us. Ve'al dezeh her Elohim. And then the response is, just summarizing what we learned so far. Now, Micha responds, ki yefsho shi'aniach Hashem ha'isam l'chasmid b'rasam. That's not true. Hashem will not allow you to continue down this path of destruction, shu'neged hanimus, which is opposite, which is keneged, which is antithetical to what is nimus, which is correct, a proper code of conduct. Hashem will not tolerate this. You're dead wrong. And now he's just leading into the next pasuk. Pasuk Gidal begins the response of the Jewish people back to the Navi. In other words, everything until now is there's a dialogue. Okay, just saying, there's a dialogue. The people say to Micha, Micha, quiet. Keep quiet. You do not know what you're talking about. Hashem doesn't care. He's not going to harm us. Let the world just keep on spinning on its axis. Olam kiminhagoy nahog. And along comes Micha. Micha says, no, that's not the way it works. The Ribbono Shel Olam, He takes to heart your averos, and He's going to obliterate you off the face of the earth. And now we have finished that part of the dialogue. And now, beginning with Pasuk Yud Aleph, Micha is once again going to respond. Okay, that's the Malbim. Okay, so the Malbim, at least with one, let's just review the Malbim's, how we translate the Pasuk. Forget about the summary. Kumuluchu Hashem says, get up and get out. Ki lo zayis hamenucha. This is not what I had in mind when I gave you the land. And the reason why I'm telling you to get out of the land is because of what you've done in the previous pasuk. The previous pasuk, it says, Nishay amiti garshun mi beis ta'anugah. Because of the sin of causing a woman to get divorced from her husband, to whom she's been married to and has children from, because of that sin alone, I'm going to destroy you. How did that sin all come about? Let me tell you how it came about. Because, Bavur Tama, the contamination you brought into someone else's marriage, Tichabel, you went and you took from a woman a mashkoin. A woman needed to borrow some money. She came to the store to feed her children. She has no money. She asked for credit. The grocery man, please let me have some food for my children on credit. And the grocer says, okay, I'll give you, but if you'll give me something in return. And he was not ashamed to say exactly what he wants in return. He wants the chavel. I'll give the chavel. You take a pledge. And what is the pledge? The chavel nimrots. Explicit. He says to her, if you'll live with me, then I'll give you what you want. I'll lend you some money here. I'll give you credit in my store. Hashem says that is intolerable. Intolerable behavior. And for that, and then the husband finds out, of course. And then there's a divorce. And then there are grois tzaras. So Hashem says that avera is intolerable. And it is for that that you will be exiled from when? No one wanted to go so far on the page and say such explicit terms and read the pasuk in such a shocking description. But the Malbim, he has the guts to do it. The Malbim, he goes and he says it the way it is. Okay, let's now take...
In the general marks, he's talking, give Musa to people, and they don't understand what he's saying because the language is so difficult.
Now we have to assume... We have to assume that they certainly understood what he was saying. We have to assume that if he said these words and they're recorded for posterity, we don't know. Maybe he's saying a svara, but you can say the svara the other way around. These, if we can read them with Sudas and Rashi, and we can figure it out, we can figure it out. And we are, I'm not going to say for anyone else, but I'm very simple people. So certainly we have a right to assume the people living in these times, they understood exactly what he was saying.
They absolutely did.
and in every dimension, in a lot more ways. We only have 3-4 perushim. They understood what he said in 100 perushim, exactly to the every nuance of what he said. They understood. Look, the Gra always, the Gra would say, it's very famous. We say this over many times here in the shir. The Gra said that the Gra lived how many years ago?
250.
1797. Wasn't that long ago, the Gra. And the Gra said, in all his humility, he said that he can fathom what it was like to be a Tana. Okay, who could say something like that? He can fathom what it was like. He's not a Tana, he said. I can fathom what it was like. But to appreciate, have a sense of what it was like to be a water carrier, meaning, we would say today, a bus driver. I mean, I don't want to say every profession is a noble profession, just like the simplest profession possible during the times of the Nevi'im, not a Navi, to be the simplest Jew living on the street, performing manual labor in the time when the Nevi'im existed, the Gra said he cannot even fathom their holiness. So the people, not just Hebrew, they knew the whole, they saw it all. When he says, and yet, the same way that they were granted this supernatural holiness, there's always a balance of power. There's always the balance of Bechira, the Yetzirah, not to listen to the Navi. The Yetzirah to be in denial was infinitely stronger. Okay, so let's talk about Menashe. Menashe, the Gemara says that tomorrow, one of the Tanayim says, tomorrow we're going to stop the shir here. Tomorrow we're going to learn about our friends. Who? I don't remember who he said about.
Menashe,
they called him a friend. Menashe was a terrible Russia. But I forgot Menashe. So they came to me in the dream and said, how dare you call me your friend? You ended off your shir today. Can you imagine? They were listening. They must have had Torah any time those days. They were watching online upstairs, the shir going on down here, and they sent in a complaint. How dare you call me? Dr. Fruchter is here. Wow. Shalom Aleichem. Baruch Abba. Baruch Abba, it's so good to see you. How do you feel? Good to see you. Wow, Baruch Hashem. So the question, how, and he said to him, how dare you call us our friends? Who do you think you are to call me? So he said, what do you mean? What do you mean? You are an oivdei avodah zara. What you did, the damage that you did to Klal Yisrael is beyond belief. So he says, believe me, if you would have been living in my time, when I went to go worship with the zara, I walked slowly. I went very peacefully. If you would have been living in my time, you would have picked up your pants, would have run to the Avodah Zarah. You have no idea what the Nisayon was. You cannot begin to fathom. Okay, so we have to assume living in this time, they were extremely great people on an exalted level beyond our wildest imagination. Okay, so that concludes over here. These perushal lessons, maybe just begin a little bit. We have another 2 minutes. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Louis Shoylech Ruach Vosheker Kizev. If only a man, Shoylech Ruach Vosheker Kizev, Atif Licha, I will drip to you, Layayin Velashecher, two different types of wine, Vihoyo Matif Ha'om Hazeh, and he will drip to this people. I just said words which make absolutely no sense unless we see the Mefarshim. Mitsudos David, Luish. What does it mean over here, Luish? Im, Matsu Ish. Lu over here means im. That's quite a jump. Quite a jump to go from the word Lu means if only. It means if you will find. Im, Matsu Ish, Shaholich Achar Divrei Ruach Vehev. If you find the man who follows. Nonsense. Namses. Umichazev loy masheker. And he's a horrible person. He's Vosheker. He's a liar. Kizev. Two words which mean the same thing. They don't mean exactly the same thing. Two different types of lies. Okay, one is an open lie, one is a lie, and indirectly, I don't even know the difference. So obviously, use your imagination and study Tanakh. You probably can find a way to I think Kizev means a hidden lie. Kizev is like a politician. They present. Kizev. But you know, Kizev, it always echoes in my mind what I heard Rabbi Shor say so many years ago is that Kozbi Basur. Why was she called Kozbi? Okay, who was Mizana with her? What was his name? Zimri. Zimri was Mizana with Kozbi. Zimri was the Jew, and Kozbi was the princess from Midian. She was called Kozbi. Was that her real name? Not necessarily. Why was she called Kozbi? So Rabbi Shor excited, maybe it's his own word. It comes from the word Kozov, a lie. She was a beautiful woman enticing a man. And in other words, the person is so worked up. If only he can satisfy his desires by having this woman, all the world's problems would be solved. Only he's able to marry this woman, everything would be solved. And then he gets her. He gets her. He satisfies his desires. And then what does he realize? It's nothing. Zero. I have from her absolutely nothing but agmas nefesh. To live with this non-Jewish woman, it was a lie. The Yetzirah that presented itself and told me, go, take her, she's beautiful, she will make you happy, you'll have a wonderful life. It was a total, total lie. I married a non-Jewish woman, and what do I have now from her? Nothing. It was a lie. Kozov. The reason why she was called, this was like the mashal for all generations of intermarriage. This is the most public intermarriage that ever happened in the world.
Right.
Where a shiksa, Kozvi Vasur, a princess from Midian, is now publicly getting married to Zimri as an act of rebellion in front of Gantz Klal Yisrael to show it's right. This is the dogma of intermarriage. And what's her name? Her name is Kozbi. Why Kozbi? Because the Yetzahara to marry the wrong woman, the woman who is the wrong woman for Taiva, is a Kozov. It is a lie. It's a lie. But at the time, it doesn't seem like it's a lie. It's a lie you only discover in hindsight. It's only after it's too late, after you elect this official, and he promised you the world, and then has he delivered? It was a big lie. That's a kozov when the lie is discovered in hindsight. Sheker is where the lie is open. Okay, the lie is open, it's blatant. Sheker, it's a blatant lie. Kozov is a lie in hindsight. We have here a person, Luish, if you'll find the person, Tocholich Ruach, full of hot air, no substance, just talk. Vosheker kizev, an expression. He's full of sheker, he's full of kizev. And what else does he do? Vohoya oimer anabe l'chol lishtois yayin v'sheichar. Atif l'chol layayin v'la sheichar. If you give me something good to drink, a good cup of wine, I'll give over to you some good words of prophecy. In other words, I am for sale. I will preach whatever you want. Just pay my fee. V'hoya matif l'mazeh. Ish kezeh hoya mikubul lochem l'navi ki me'od hoyu shamim elav. These are the type of people that were popular in society. Wow, what a pasuk, okay? According to Mitzudas, it's an amazing parish of the pasuk. In other words, you always got to read the psukim backwards. You want to go look at the roster. The roster, who's on the program, Rabbi Sai? Who's on the program for today? Go back, time of the prophets, there's a special program for an event. Who's on the roster? The Hayom Matif Ha'om Hazeh, that's the roster. It will be the matif, the speakers, the people that will drip words of inspiration, words of prophecy. Who are the matifim l'ha'am hazeh? The answer is a bunch of phonies. A bunch of phonies. They're going to be Lewish. You'll find the people who are holich ruach harir v'shek kizev ativ l'choliyayim v'sheicher. They're all being paid hefty fees in order to say, to preach, to tell the people what they want to hear. That's the way the Mitzudah Stavlim Shan, the Pasuk, a very frightening description. Rachmana Litzlon, you don't want this to be true in our generation. Such a description. And with that, we're going to leave it and we'll take a very short break.